So this evening we will read from the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 2, contents of the Gita summarized, text 4. First we will recite the Sanskrit that Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Arjuna Uvacha.
Arjuna Uvacha.
Katam Bhishman Aham Sankye.
Katam Bhishma Aham Sankye.
Dronam Sam Madhusudana.
Dronam Cha Madhusudana.
Isubi Pratiyotsyami.
Isubi Pratiyotsyami.
Pucharav Arisudana.
Pucharav Arisudana.
Arjuna Vacha.
Arjuna Vacha.
Katam Bhishmam Aham Sankye.
Katam Bhishmam Aham Sankye.
Drona Cha Madhusudana.
Drona Cha Madhusudana.
Isyabhi Pratiyotsyami.
Isyabhi Pratiyotsyami.
Pucharav Arisudana.
Pucharav Arisudana.
Arjuna Uvacha.
Arjuna Uvacha.
Katam Bhishmam Aham Sankye.
Katam Bhishmam Aham Sankye.
Dronam Sha Madhusudana.
Dronam Sha Madhusudana.
Isabhi Pratiyotsyami.
Isabhi Pratiyotsyami.
Pucharav Arisudana.
Pucharav Arisudana. Arjuna Vacha.
Arjuna Vacha.
Katam Bhishma Aham Sankye.
Katam Bhishma Aham Sankye.
Dronam Cha Madhusudana.
Dronam Cha Madhusudana.
Isyubhi Parishishyami.
Isyubhi Pratiyotsyami.
Purva Arisudana.
Pucharav Arisudana. And the word for word translation. Arjuna Uvacha.
Arjuna Uvacha.
Arjuna said.
Arjuna said.
Katam.
Katam.
How.
How.
Bhishmam.
Bhishmam.
Bhishma.
Bhishma.
Aham.
Aham.
I.
I.
Sankye.
Sankye.
In the fight.
In the fight.
Dronam.
Dronam.
Drona.
Drona.
Cha.
Cha.
Also.
Also.
Madhusudan.
Madhusudan.
O killer of Madhu.
O killer of Madhu.
It should be.
It should be.
With arrows.
With arrows.
Pratiyotsyami.
Pratiyotsyami.
Shall counter attack.
Shall counter attack.
Pucha arrow.
Pucha arrow.
Those who are worshipable.
Those who are worshipable.
Arisudan.
Arisudan.
O killer of the enemies.
O killer of the enemies.
And we have the translation and commentary by Rishi Bhaktivinoda Swami Srila Prabhupada.
Okay.
Arjuna said, O killer of enemies, O killer of Madhu, how can I counterattack with arrows in the battle? Men like Bhishma and Drona, who are worthy of my worship. So please repeat. Arjuna said,
Arjuna said,
O killer of enemies,
O killer of enemies,
O killer of Manu,
O killer of Madhu,
how can I counteract?
How can I counterattack?
With arrows in battle.
With arrows in battle.
Men like Bhishma and Drona.
Men like Bhishma and Drona.
Who are worthy of my worship.
Who are worthy of my worship.
The purport by A.C. Bhaktivinoda Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. Respectable superiors like Bhishma and the grandfather and Dronacharya the teacher are always worshipable. Even if they attack, they should not be counterattacked. It is general etiquette that superiors are not to be offered even a verbal fight. Even if they are sometimes harsh in behavior, they should not be harshly treated. Then how is it possible for Arjuna to counterattack them? Would Krishna ever attack his own grandfather Ugrasen or his teacher Sandipani Muni? These were some of the arguments offered by Arjuna to Krishna. verse again. Arjuna vacha katam bhishma mam sankhi dronam samadushudana ishabhi pratyot shyami pucharaf arishudana. Arjuna said, O killer of the enemies, O killer of Madhu, how can I counteract with arrows in battle, and like Bhishma and Drona, who are worthy of my worship? Now we will hear the commentary of Purnachandra Maharaj. He's mostly quoting Srila Vidyabhushan and Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur in this, their commentaries on this purport. But we will see that Srila Prabhupada, he does not mention them by name here in the purport, but he also refers to them. It's so Srila Prabhupada's commentaries are the commentaries of Vidyabhushan and Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, because they both wrote also commentaries on the Bhagavad Gita. You can read them, it's interesting. Vaishnava commentaries of our line. So that's nice to read. These books are available on Vidyabhushan, especially with Srila Vidyabhushan. Srila Vidyabhushan said, Arjun used the same words, or all almost the same words, Madhusudan and Arisudan. He used it already in the first chapter, Madhusudan, killer of Madhu. They are very similar because they have almost the same meaning. He was in such great anxiety that he did not remember that he already addressed the Lord as Madhusudan. Interesting comment. That means he's in so much anxiety at this point. So he's saying, how can I counteract in the fight people such as Bhishma and Drona, who are worthy of my worship? I should offer them flowers, not arrows. Pucharaf, those who are worshipable, should be offered flowers and respect. Pranams, not arrows. They are great persons, and they can never be fallen. How can you ask me to kill my relatives? I mean, you kill persons also, but you don't kill your relatives. You kill demons like Madhu. Therefore, he's addressing us, Madhusudan. You are Madhusudan. No. Yadu, the king who is in the Yadu dynasty, but the demon Madhu. You are Arisudan. You kill the enemy. You would not kill Sandipani Muni, wouldn't you, Krishna? Or your own relatives? And you are asking me to kill my guru? Prabhupada mentions Sandipani Muni in the commentary here. That's coming from Paladev Vidyabhushan. Or your own relatives? Or you are asking me to kill my guru? Prabhupada mentions Sandipani Muni in the commentary. Will Krishna ever attack his own grandfather Ugrasen, or his teacher Sandipani Muni? These were some of the arguments offered by Arjuna to Krishna. So these are mentioned by Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur. So even if Drona or Bhishma are sometimes harsh, they should therefore not be harshly treated. In the Dharma Shastras, this general etiquette is mentioned that superiors are not even to be offered a verbal fight. That's from the Dharma Shastra, Manu Samhita, Laws for Mankind. So Krishna is not Yadu Sudan, he's Arisudan. He kills demons, not his family. So Arjuna is mentioning this Sandipani Muni or Ugrasena. It would not kill them. Then Arjuna continues in text 5. That's for next week. So this is commentary of Purichampurna. Arjuna is telling Krishna, that is very nice. You are Madhusudan, that means the killer of Madhu. There were two Madhus. One is a relative of Krishna's forefather, and the other was the demon. So you are Madhusudan, and you are Arisudan, killer of the demon. The enemy Madhu, not the relative Madhu. It's all right for you to kill Krishna, to kill Bhishma and Drona, because you have killed so many. You have killed demons like Madhu, but not your relative Madhu, but Arisudan Madhu. So you have killed demons, but you are not asking me to kill a demon. You are asking me to kill Bhishma and Drona, who are not worthy of being killed, but are Pujara being worshipful. I should not offer them arrows, but they are worthy to be worshipped with flowers. How are you asking me to kill them? Srila Prabhupada refers to this verse I get this 2.4. It's when he speaks about the guru. It's here. This is from the book The Spiritual Master and the Disciple. And these are the qualifications of a disciple. The disciple must be submissive and humble. And then Srila Prabhupada, he mentioned this in the purport, in his writing here. Even if the spiritual master deals harshly, the disciple must be submissive. Respectable superiors are always worshipable. Even if they attack, they should not be counterattacked. It is general etiquette that superiors are not to be offered even a verbal fight, even if they are sometimes harsh in behavior. They should not be harshly treated. How a bona fide student should pray when approaching a bona fide spiritual master. When a bona fide student approaches a bona fide spiritual master, he submissively prays to the spiritual master. My dear Lord, kindly accept me as your student and train me in such a way that I will be able to give up all other kinds of processes for self-realization and simply engage in Krishna consciousness, devotional service, submissive attitude. So one should not one should tolerate if the spiritual master addresses you in a harsh way. He has a purpose in doing that. So this is an important aspect in the third canto of the Bhagavatam have the description of Vaikuntha. And there Lord Narayan explains to the four Kumaras the Brahman is always worshipable. Even if a Brahman addresses you or in an unkind way, one should fold his hand and smile and accept it. That because Brahmins or devotees are beyond Brahmins, that are very dear to Krishna. That of course we have the context here of this verse, that's one thing. But because Srila Prabhupada speaks about it in the purport, I think it's an important point to address if we don't deal properly with the Brahmins. Then nothing auspicious can happen in our lives. That we have seen now in the Daksha was a Prajapati. That was one of the Prajapatis, and Prajapatis are progenitors of mankind. They are super beings who can produce 1,000 children in one go. That because in like a Brahmin is very tolerant, is because Daksha, although he was also a Brahmin, although he was heavily influenced by the modes of nature, by his activities, but the demigods sometimes they have a sacrifice, a big sacrifice, and during this sacrifice, in Bhagavad Gita is mentioned, we will learn in the third chapter, Jagnartha Karma Noyatya Lokayam Karma Vandana. Sacrifice is meant for satisfying Vishnu. So this great sacrifice is organized by the demigods. They were meant to please factually Lord Vishnu. But also the demigods, they would get their share of the sacrifice, especially Brahma, Shiva, that of course. Such sacrifices organized by the demigods, they were always very opulent. A great thing, they came from all over the universe for that sacrifice. And there was one sacrifice like that. Also Lord Shiva was there. Lord Shiva is a spiritual position, is Shiva Tattva. He's not a jiva, not a living entity, and he's not Vishnu Tattva, he's between. It's a special position. It's that Lord Shiva is like milk. You have milk and you add some acid, and by that it turns into yogurt. So he's the Supreme Lord in contact with the material nature. That's a special position. So it's not ordinary. It's between living entity and the Vishnu Tattva. that Lord Shiva was always meditating on the Supreme Lord in his heart. He's called Sambhu, the greatest Vaishnava, because he's always meditating on Krishna in his heart. That was the order of his father, because he was one of the 9 Rudras who were born from Brahma, and they were responsible for destroying the universe at the end of the creation. But in the beginning of the creation, he created these Rudras, and he gave them an order, the order that he gives to all his sons. You help me with populating the universe, and you engage in procreation. Because just before he gave this order to the 4 Kumaras, 4 Kumaras were the first living beings, and they were created from his mind. Lord Brahma created living entities from his mind. They get a body according to his consciousness. So his consciousness at that moment, he was meditating on processes to attain liberation. 4 different processes. He was meditating on that very peacefully, and the 4 Kumaras came out, were created. But they were liberated because they were in that position. And he told them, "Oh, I want you to help me with procreation. Thus, enter family life." And they all four said, "No way. We are liberated. We will stay 5-year-old children for the rest of our lives." So they are still there, zillions of years old, 5-year bodies of 5 years, the 4 Kumaras. So when they refused to engage in procreation, Brahma became angry, and his anger, he tried to hold it inside with his intelligence, but he could not, and it came out of his mind. And when it comes out for Brahma, means he's going to create living entities, and then 9 Rudras appeared, born of anger, mode of ignorance, and he gave them the order, yes, you engage in procreation of the universe. And they followed very happily the order of Lord Brahma, and soon there were so many Rudras, but they were all in the mode of ignorance, and they started to destroy the universe. And Brahma was in trouble. He was thinking, it's the beginning of creation. They should do that at the end of the creation. Srila Prabhupada writes in the Bhagavatam, "See, Brahma is creating without botheration of a wife. Still, they have so much problems with his family." But then he called all the Rudras and said, "You should meditate on the Supreme Lord in your heart, always. And by that your anger will cool down." And by that they are all meditating. and the greatest is Lord Shiva, is the head of the Rudras. And he's meditating always on Krishna inside. So he's the greatest Vaishnava, he's always Krishna conscious, but he's always in meditation. Many times he doesn't know what's happening around him. So at that great sacrifice there, that all the demigods were there, Lord Brahma was sitting there, and then Prajapati Daksha came into the arena for the sacrifice, and it was as brilliant like the sun. And when he came in, all the other demigods stood up. That only Brahma remained seated. He was his father. But then Lord Shiva remained also seated. Of course, he was in Samadhi. He didn't know us. But by that, he became disturbed, Daksha. And he started his speech. And in his speech he said, yeah, what I'm going to say now, it's not out of envy, but that's, when Bhujam Prabhu was reading from the Bhagavatam, and he came at that verse where he says, I will not speak out of envy. He said, it's like in a house, and it's night, and man and husband are in the sleeping room, and they hear down like noise, someone is breaking into the house, and the wife pushes the husband, you go see, and the husband comes at the beginning of the stairs, it's all dark, and then he's shouting down, is there someone down there? And a few minutes later, a voice comes and said, I'm not stealing anything. So there's someone, a burglar is breaking in, a thief. But then he said, no, I'm not stealing anything. But what does he do there? Lord Prajapati Daksha says, I will not speak out of envy. But then he started to speak about Lord Shiva, because Lord Shiva is his son-in-law, because he's married with Sati, his daughter, is in that time. And he started to speak about Lord Shiva, and he says, yes, Lord Brahma has forced me to give the hand of my daughter, who is like Gayatri, who has beautiful eyes, to Shiva, who has eyes like a monkey, and who is not clean. He lives at the crematorium, puts ashes on its
skulls.
And skulls and Lord Brahma has forced me to give my daughter to him. So it starts really to offend Lord Shiva, but Lord Shiva tolerated everything. But then what later happens is that sometime later was again a sacrifice, and all the demigods were going to the sacrifice to space, and I think Lord Shiva lives in Kailash somewhere in the universe, and his His wife Sati saw that all these beautiful damsels from heaven, nicely dressed, they were all going to the sacrifice. And she said to her, to Lord Shiva, let us also go. And Lord Shiva said, I cannot go because your father does not invite me. He does not want me to come. If we would go, it will be very inauspicious. Yes, she said, but I want to go. I want to be with my family and so on. Finally, she went without Lord Shiva, without his approval. But when she left, all the associates of Lord Shiva, all these ghosts, oblogins, and big demons, followed her, and she was riding on little Lord Shiva's bull. But when she arrived there, Lord Shiva welcomed everyone, but completely neglected her. And by that, she felt so shocked that she told Daksha, "I got this body from you. You have offended my husband. So I will give up this body that I got from you." And she burned herself, her mystic power from within. That's a sad theory. In this story, there are a few things. Because afterwards, when she burned her body, these demons, they started to destroy the whole sacrifice. Because when Lord Shiva was offended, there were some demigods who were in favor of the words of Daksha. Like Brihamuni was smiling, so he got rid of his teeth. But finally, the demons destroyed whole sacrifice and cut off the neck of Lord Shiva, and he lost his neck. What we can learn from this story is that you have relatives and they are all your friends, and one moment later they become your greatest enemy. So this idea of relatives is very very temporary thing. That like we see Bhishma Dev, he was fighting at the other side. But Arjun considered him as worshipable still. Although he's at the other side, and Drona also, he was his teacher. This respect is there for superiors. That's part of the Vedic culture. All superiors are worshipable, and that's Vaishnava etiquette. That especially senior Vaishnavas, that should be always treated with the greatest respect. That's the etiquette. The spiritual master, the godbrothers of the spiritual master, should be given the same respect as the spiritual master. That's giving of respect, submission, But superiors, they give blessings. But sometimes they give blessings by chastisement. Because the superior means guru. That means cutting in the attachments of the disciple. That's very important. But if one it is spiritual master does that, then that is a great blessing, because these lessons you will never forget. You will never forget if the spiritual master chastises you. This is in 96 August. My Guru Maharaj was organizing, it was during the centennial year, he was organizing a travel to India, Calcutta first, and we visited all the places where Srila Prabhupada lived, his apartment, his pharmacy, his Scottish college where he went to school, and then the temple with Govinda where when he was young. We stayed there for a whole day practically, visited all these places, and then also all places on the Parikram in Mayapur. There is a place at the other side of the Jalangi River, where Jagannath Das Babaji used to stay and chant. And he was chanting under a tree with big leaves. They built a temple there. A small temple. But we were on Parikram, maybe with 150 devotees. And August is very hot in Mayapur, and the sun was shining very brightly. And my Guru Maharaj gave a lecture in the temple courtyard under was a roof, open roof above, and then there was the deity. But I could not fit in because there were so many, so I was standing like 3-4 meters from, because in between there was the sun, and then I was on a roof at the other side. I was standing there trying to listen, because you could not walk just on the stones. It was so hot, your feet would burn. And in the middle of the lecture, I was not initiated at that time, just before my initiation. He said to me, he shouted to me, he said, "Bhaktaluk, come here." I had to come, and I came to the temple, and the devotees went aside, and I was sitting down just before him. When I was sitting down before him, he shouted at me and he said, "Don't sit with your back to the deities." It was very, very strong. I never forgot. And since I never sat with my back to the deities since that time. That's very deep. It goes very deep. You never do that again. So that's the mercy of chastisement. You never forget his instructions. That's a spiritual mastery. He has to cut, to correct you and to cut in your attachments. And that's also what Krishna will do here. He will from the moment, he takes the role of spiritual master by chastising him. That's the first thing he does after, because in the next verses it will appear that Arjuna is perplexed. He doesn't know what to do or not to do. And he says to Krishna, "You are my guru now. You are my guru." And then when he has surrendered Krishna, first thing he does is chastising him. I show some fun, outfoot some fun. Prachya vadam sabhasasi, khatasin agatatam sa, nano shashanti pandita. Ashoshan amvachochan spa. Prachya vadam sabhasasi. He says, you are speaking like a learned bandit. But a wise man does not, he does not lament neither for the living nor the deaf. But you speak as a learned person. You present yourself as learned, so he's chastising him. That's the first thing he does. Because from a mundane conception, this looks all logic. Why should I kill my relatives? That Dharma Shastra says it's sinful. Yes. But in the whole thing, he forgets that he is a military man. And that Dronacharya and Duryodhana, they were transgressors of all religious quotes. And it's like a police officer must punish a criminal. It was his duty to punish, whether they are family or not. That's not a consideration. Then you are, if you are a police officer and you see, oh, it's my family, I will not. That's not a good policeman. So it was his duty. This is just from the point of duty. Mundane duty. He had to do it. But from the position of the transcendental position, Krishna was with him, and it was the order of Krishna. It was also his spiritual duty to do it. But he comes bewildered by this temporary situation. He was attached to the relations, how they were at that moment. But it's so, time is like, it's going so quick. That yesterday was Bhima Ekadashi. I remember one year ago Bhima Ekadashi. It was like yesterday, so quickly. I travel every year. I'm going to Bulgaria and Romania and a few countries, and we come out the same places, Valanon, Marts and me, every time. It's like, when you come there, that's like we just left. Time is going so quick. Life is going so quick. All those who I knew 40 years ago, they are dead or not there anymore. Situation is not there anymore. It does not exist. The whole thing is gone. So it's so temporary. But our actions and we do actions with our consciousness. We drive it with our desires and our consciousness. And if we look through the world from the conception, I'm this body, and that's all there is, and so I live for enjoyment and with my family members and with others, then that means that one's actions will have reactions. It's on a material platform Arjuna does not want to kill his family members. Why? Because he wants to enjoy with them. But who enjoys? The body enjoys. not a soul. So he forgets completely himself, identifying with the whole situation. And that brings a fearful situation. If you think you are this body and your happiness depends on this relationship with others in this world, then full of anxiety, because that never works out. All these so-called relationships and things is so temporary. So temporary. And we make so many problems about these relationships. But they are temporary. The situation that existed 10 years ago is completely different from now. Let's say 30 years ago. It's changing. All the things, that's Maya. That Maya. It's like this body. It's a bag of bones and 90% water and some flesh inside. But inside so many organs that if you look at its organs, horrible thing, all these organs inside. But it's the skin, the outside is nice. Well, it's nice when you are young. When you get older, that becomes different. Then it becomes ugly. Because the body gets old. It's a rotting process. The whole thing. And we think this body, that's our enjoyment. And Arjuna is brought into this illusion here by Krishna. Yes. I'm attached to my relatives. So, why should I fight? I want to enjoy with him. And he uses arguments. He's saying to Krishna, will you kill your guru, Sandipani Muni? But Sandipani Muni has not done such horrible things as these Kauravas. They deserve to be killed. Because they were transgressors of all codes of religion. So that's because if you think about that, you have also to think about our present situation. We have a present situation, and mostly we are attached to it. And that attachment is not good. That attachment will chain us to this material world. Therefore, Krishna advises in Bhagavad Gita, and that's an essential technique, is working in the spirit of detachment. Detached work. That working. But detached means I'm detached from the result of my work. And that's what we must learn. Detached of the result. So I have family relationships, but I know they will change. Whatever Krishna's arranging, that's alright with me. But I will serve him. That's my duty. I will do my duty of serving him. And that's what Krishna is going to teach Arjuna, to fight for Krishna and his relatives. Just forget about it. They will get a new body, and that's good to get a new body. Bhishmadev's body was old. 120 years old, you will get a new body. It's a reason to be joyful. You will take birth again, get a new body. All these problems from old age will not be there. Because Arjun thinks I will kill all these people. But then Krishna gives him transcendental knowledge. You cannot kill anyone. Because the person is a spirit soul, is eternal, cannot be slain. That cannot kill it by any means. It's antimatter. But we got his body because we are attached to our work and the results. And here Arjun was attached to the results. He did not want that result of killing them. And he was thinking nothing good can come from it. But it's just a complete misunderstanding. Because working for Krishna means that everyone Arjuna kills will go to the spiritual world. And if he would be killed, he would also go to the spiritual world, because he is fighting on the order of Krishna. But Krishna is there. Nobody could kill him. He was Mahabahu, and we've seen in the battle that even Bhishma Dev tried to kill him. One day he said, because that's a story that I don't know where the five arrows came from, but that Duryodhana had five arrows, and they had mystic power that they would, if they would be used, then they would kill their target for sure. They had mystic power, these five arrows, and Duryodhana had these arrows, and Bhishma decided to use them and to kill the five Pandavas. But Krishna knew it, and he told to Arjuna, this evening you go to Duryodhana, because he has promised you in the past a boon. Now you ask to fulfill this promise. And he went to Duryodhana, and then when Duryodhana saw him, then he said, "Oh Arjuna, you are coming. You want a kingdom without fighting? I will give you." But then Arjuna said, "No. You remember you promised me this boon. Now I want it. Give me these five arrows." And he got his five arrows. But then the day later, when the fight was there, and he was fighting, and Bhishma Dev was fighting so heavy with great force that he came practically before Arjuna, and he was going to kill him. Krishna had promised not to fight, but to protect Arjuna, he jumped from the chariot and took a chariot wheel, and he was going to throw it to Bhishma Dev. Just when he wanted to do that, a conch blew, announcing that the sun has set. And the battle of the day was finished. So Krishna protect always his devotee. And he says that Ananda Sintayantamam Yechana Prapastiti Tisam Tisabayuktanam Yurakstenam Pramyam. My devotee who serves me with unalloyed devotional service, I protect what he has, and I provide all what he needs. The purpose, Srila Prabhupada refers to spiritual protection. Krishna protects us against sinful actions and brings us back to the spiritual world. Spiritual protection. that interesting. But also Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna that you declared boldly, my devotee will never perish. One of our commentators says to Vaishnava commentator says Krishna tells this to Arjuna because if Arjuna declares it, everyone will believe him. But as Krishna says it, not everyone will believe him because he has broken his promise to he started to defend Arjuna against Bhishma Dev. That he breaks even his own promise to protect his devotee. That's the spiritual protection. And Arjuna was under that spiritual protection. He had not to fear anything. And all these fighters who will be killed, they will go to the heavenly planets or the spiritual world or get liberation. They will have the best possible destination according to their desire. That But it's a heavy thing to fight against your own family still. And Krishna create a dilemma for Arjuna to show us that we should not consider good or bad results in this world. They will come anyway. Should consider doing our duty for Krishna and not be concerned with the result. And then you act without reaction. You are stopping creating new bodies and you become purified. And how one becomes purified, acting on the spiritual platform. So Arjuna had to learn how to act on how to fight spiritually, not materially. Materially means concerned with mortal temporary bodies and all their consequences and their relationships. Like going on the internet, you read the news. International, the same news as 20 years ago, as 30 years ago, as 40 years ago. They are still fighting everywhere. Same thing. Murders and so many things. It's that will go on. We should not be concerned with the world. That's material nature takes care of that. We have nothing to say in it anyway. We are not the doer. Material nature takes care. We should be concerned with acting, following the instructions of Krishna, act for his pleasure. That at the same time, you have that principle how to deal with superiors. And that's a very important etiquette. But Arjuna had, in this case, a higher duty, direct order by Krishna. And he was a military man. Also, from his material svadharma, he had to fight. Spiritual svadharma, he had to fight. Material svadharma, he had to fight both. Because it was his duty as a warrior. Right? Any questions?
Just some things you picked up on. I think I'm not sure, but Prabhupada chastised obviously several people. But I remember one where he chastised someone, and she was quite senior, and I think she was at a point where she was going to leave, and then. Because she couldn't tolerate it, and I think he called her in and said, you know, that if I told her something to do with, I'll cut my throat off, and she's, and he says she'll cut my she'll cut her throat even if I tell her, something to the effect that, something to do with throat, and she got relief from there that Prabhupada is not, you know, this obviously what we're taking on when the senior tells us off, that it's all, you know, it's on a material platform, but it's not.
Yeah. Right.